Dum-dums, full nudes for real life. Season 3, episode 2.
Yeah, I hate it. I
just say hey.
Hey.
How are y'all doing?
Hey.
Welcome back to another episode. So this is going to be an interesting episode. We decided to do this new idea of creating a group meet. A group chat between us three, and whenever we have a strange idea that kind of intrigues us, we just go ahead and shoot that into the group chat. So we've accumulated some interesting messages, a lot of food, David Archuleta, eyes, smells, a lot of things. So today I think we're going to kind of touch on the smells and the eyes and senses and how strange some of that stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So how we want to start that is, what do you think?
Well, before we like jump in, can I like interject?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, like different things. I just, because I was going to say this and then we got talking about something else, but, I just want to say how I love that we're in another location again.
Mm-hmm.
Last time we were outside on campus. Mm-hmm. Right now, we are in a study lounge that looks like a very official conference room,
mm-hmm.
So it feels pretty legit. But yeah, it's just really fun because we never really know when we're going to do the episode or when we're going to do it. But yeah, it's really fun to be in different locations because I feel like it makes things interesting.
It's very on brand for us.
Yeah. For sure. For sure. Yet intentional, you know, we're talking about intentionality last time.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Like, we pick them.
Yeah, we want to try new places.
We do.
That's a good thing.
We want to see, we want to try it out.
Because we honestly haven't had a place where we're like, this is it.
Exactly.
Because I feel like all our places, there's kind of little hiccups like with each one, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we haven't really found a spot that we love that we're committed to. So right now we're just seeing what's out there.
Yeah, we're like, that's good that we're trying to like branch out, find new places. Yeah. But I feel like we haven't had a spot because there's no spot that's actually like home, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like we're not gonna find that spot until we like dedicate our homey little cozy area. Like I just picture this super like boho, cute little wooden table with like a lot of greenery.
Like coffee shop kind of vibes.
Coffee shop vibes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and until we get that or something like it, I mean, we're gonna be like, oh, it's good, you know?
For sure.
But
it's not.
Yeah. But we'll find that someday.
Oh, yeah.
I think when it's time, it'll be here.
Absolutely.
And I think there's beauty in this time.
Yeah.
You know, we're growing, we're learning, we aren't like established really, you know? We're just kind of figuring it out.
It's an abstract
idea. Yeah. And yeah, I think Jesus will bless us with our home when it's time.
Abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. No question.
It's gonna be better than our boho wooden coffee
better
shop
than we could ever expect. Because Jesus knows our heart better than we do.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's been some truth.
We're getting deep early this morning. Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. Back to smells, senses, all the things.
Just interesting.
Yeah.
Us as humans, what? When you really think about it, it's strange.
Yeah. Because, like, I was going to say, I was like, I feel like senses are, like, there's something about the humanity of senses that, like, how would we know, like, how would we know ourselves and know others and, like, be able to, like, live without, like, our sense of sight or our sense of hearing, like, all those together. But then I think about that and I'm like, well, there are people that, like, don't have some of those senses. So, like, but not that they're any less human or, like, any less, like, experienced in the world. But it's just very interesting how you always hear, like, senses compensate for each other.
Yes.
So, like, when somebody maybe doesn't have their sense of sight, their sense of hearing is very, very good. Or their sense of touch is, like, very, very good. So I just think it's cool how, like, the brain works in that. And, like, I don't know, very cool to me. And, like, then I was thinking about, like, animals, though. And, like, animals aren't human, but they have all the senses we have, except for they can't talk, which that's not really a sense, I guess. So never mind, that just made me sound really dumb.
No.
The animals cannot talk. You're right.
But yeah, I was just like, it's weird that we and animals share the same ones, but we live very different lives. I don't know where I'm going, but
yeah, it's just very intriguing to me. I mean, it proves more of the fact that, like, there's something about human and, like, the idea of the soul.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
Like, we have the same senses, but it's so incredibly different spectrums because we can perceive it in a way that animals can't.
Yeah, we have that.
The intuition?
No.
Perspective?
Okay, I'll just start talking to you.
Because
It's interesting because animals are animals, so they use animalistic approaches for things. They don't have the control of, like, regulating their senses. So it's like, if they're hungry, they're going to do anything to feed that hunger. Whereas, like, we have hunger, but we can control it. Or, like with mating. Like, animals are just going to go mate wherever.
Right.
But it's like, we can control our senses in that way.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Like, we have power over the senses.
Yes.
Not power, not that's the right word, but, like,
just control.
We do, yeah, control over them. And, yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah, I was going to say something right when you were talking, because I thought of something as you forgot your train of thought.
You gained.
And then now I lost. So, like, you know.
Teamwork is not working.
Mm-hmm.
Just all senses in general, it's very interesting because, I mean, it's what, like, brings us together. Like, you think, like, your sense of taste, like, where do you gather when you're at a function at home? You always gather in the kitchen, and that brings you together.
Mm-hmm.
And then hearing, like, your mom's voice or your best friend's voice, like, that brings on so much emotion, brings such comfort. Smell. You smell something and it brings you back to, like, a beautiful memory. How does it do that? Just like how small aspects of sense trigger memory and emotion so intensely. It's so interesting.
I want to know what your experience was. Did you have one recently? Is that why you brought it up?
Okay, yes. So
what was the thing?
One of the things I sent in this group message was how, just like I mentioned, a scent can kick you, like, really, really hard back into a memory. And so I was in mass, and I was just praying, and I had my hands, like, in prayer up on the pew, so my wrists were, like, kind of by my face, and I think I moved so my perfume brushed into my face. And I wear this perfume a lot, but I had a little vial of it that I brought when we went to France.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for some reason, like, this one moment, it, like, brought me back to, like, a specific moment. I was wearing this perfume when we were in the, I think, Basilica of Lourdes. And just, like, the memories, like, the prayer I was having in that moment of, like, I guess I smelled my perfume in that moment, then I smelled my perfume when I was in prayer. This is a few days ago, and it was, like, I was back. Like, it was so jarring, because, I mean, I was in a setting similar because I was in church.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like I could feel, like, how the air felt
in
Lourdes, and, like, I could, like, I was, like, remembering to, like, the presence of, like, our friend Stephanie, who's in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so crazy because it was so strong. It was like I was transported back into that memory. It's like, how is that one little thing where I smell this perfume almost daily, but this one moment brought me back to a moment months ago?
Yeah.
And then there's even stronger ones, you know, where it's like, I would smell a scent and it smelled like my grandpa who passed away when I was in sixth grade.
Just gonna say something about that.
And it's so powerful. It, like, puts you on your knees. It jars you so much. It's amazing.
Yeah, I was thinking about my grandma when you were talking, because she wore this one perfume all of the days of the week, but then on Sunday she wore this other perfume that was, like, her nice perfume. So she would wear this, like, different scent, you know? And she would always come over on Sunday. So I saw her other days, obviously, but I always saw her on Sunday too. And she'd always joke with me, because, like, I was always giving her hugs. Like, I just, like, she was just, like, so, like, squeezable, you know? Just, like, always, like, want to hug her. And so I would always tell her, I was like, Carmela, you smell so good. Like, every time I could hug her, she always smelled so good. And she would always kind of, like, make a joke. Because they're like, oh, they say old people don't smell good. It's like, I'm glad, like, I still smell good. It was funny because I remember when she was getting sick. And, like, I knew she was probably going to pass away soon. And I remember just, like, wanting to, like, I can't quite describe it. Like, I wanted to, like, take the smell and, like, put it in a bottle, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I wanted to, like, contain it so that I could remember it. And, like, I was trying to memorize the smell. Mm-hmm. And then I remember when she passed away, my Aunt June, she's her oldest daughter. And so we kind of joked that she was, like, the matriarch of the family now. Like, it was, like, her. She was, like, kind of took on grandma's role now. And she got my grandma's perfume. And it's funny because whenever certain occasions, like certain holidays, if my Aunt June knows I'm going to be there, she'll like wear that perfume. Because I'll smell it and I was like, oh, you smell like grandma. And she's like, yeah, I wore that just for you. And like, it's just like really sweet. And like, obviously it smells different because it smells different on her than like it did even like on my grandma. So it is different, but it is that like comfort and like that familiarity. And I just think that's really cool that like, this, like certain people have very distinct smells. Like, you know, like you can just like, oh, that's my dad, or like, mm-hmm. that's my mom. Like, I just think that's really cool that like a smell can like bring you to a person. Like, I don't know. Really
yeah, cool. I remember you saying something that you like to smell people.
I do, guys. I have a weird thing. Like when I hug them, like I want to smell them, like because I want to like. That's how like I feel like I remember that moment maybe too, and, like that hug or like that person. Like if I can smell them too, like it adds like a deeper. Like it deepens the memory. I feel like
absolutely. Like, yeah. You know, kind of like tactile things, like how like their shirt felt, how their hair felt, how they smelled. It was wonderful.
Yeah, and it's funny because like my brother would be like give him a hug and be like, did you just sniff me? And like that sounds weird when you say it like that, but like yeah, I did.
Classic Tim. And it's also funny how. Like, everyone's home has a smell, mm-hmm. and maybe you don't necessarily, like, notice that smell in yourself, but others do, but when you go away from your home, you can then smell it.
Yeah.
And it's, like, such a comfort. It's like, that's my house. That's home. Yeah. That's where I'm comfortable.
Yeah. That always blows my mind, right? How houses smell different.
And it's like, everyone in the house smells like that.
Right, but it's like, you yourself can't smell it.
Right.
Like, that's weird to me, like. Some, like, you guys would come into my house, and you guys could be like, oh, this is Maggie's house. But, like, when I walk into my house, I don't think, like,
like, Maggie's house has a smell.
Right.
Kenzie's house has a smell. Our apartment has a smell. And they're all different. How are they all so different?
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. Or I think it's, like, also very weird how, like, they say that, like, perfume smells different on different people because, like, your body chemistry, like, you're, like, so, like, me and Kenzie could be wearing the same perfume, but, like, it smells different.
Yeah.
Like, something with, like, your pH balance or, like, your different ratio of chemicals on your skin.
Yeah, I had this perfume when I was in high school, and I loved it. It was kind of, like, a sweet floral, but had, like, kind of, like, musky in it. And so it smelled, like, kind of sweeter on me. But then my mom put it on, it smelled like a completely different perfume.
Mm.
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I was just thinking, this is kind of random, but on the topic of senses, I was just thinking about, like, when we want to, like, take away a sense. And I mean, like, if we're, like, overwhelmed, I feel like at least my instinct is to, like, take away a sense. So, like, if I'm getting, like, super stressed, maybe I just want to, like, go take a nap for a second. Like, I'm not going to, like, I want to, like, close my eyes. Or I mean, if it's, like, really loud, I'm like, I need to go to, like, a quiet place, like, where I can't really hear. You know, like, we want to, like, diminish, like, a sense when, like, too much is happening. And I just think that's, like, interesting, too. Like, you're, like, okay, this is too much. Like, everything's too much. Like, I'm just going to, like, go take a nap or listen to music and just, like,
drown out
everything else, you know? Like, there's just, like, a weird, we gravitate, I feel like, towards one sense that we want to, like, keep, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, like, everything else, I feel like we're just like, okay, no, I want to shut like everything else out for like this little bit. I don't know, like how we cope with different things.
That's really intriguing to think of it in that way, because we do. It's like we do it without thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say, yeah, I don't know. My thing is so weird. It's consistently the same thing that connects me to the same time, but like I'm always taken back to preschool whenever I smell a certain soap.
Oh, okay.
Like whenever I like find that soap in like a store or restaurant or something, mm-hmm. that was like the soap from preschool,
yeah.
I'm immediately taken back. It's the weirdest thing. Because
yeah.
like I couldn't tell you a thing about preschool.
Yeah.
You know? Like
yeah.
I don't remember anything from
right.
when I was little.
Right, but you're
but I
not.
Know that smell.
And
like I immediately think of like cafeteria chocolate milk cartons. Like literally, that's what comes to mind. It's the weirdest thing.
It's so weird because it's like your brain somehow remembers those like distinct senses and like those distinct smells.
Right.
Like even though you're like visually or like in your memory, you don't remember what was happening. Like you remember though that familiar smell.
It's like the little teeny tiny like thread neural connection that's like hiding in the background of corner. Like one thing dings it. Like oh,
yeah.
I haven't thought of that in 18 years.
Yeah. I think it's weird, like, what our brain decides to hold on to.
Yeah. Oh, big.
This is interesting. I just found a little bit as to why this happens. It says, so the rest of our senses, sight, hearing, taste, and touch, have to travel down a very long path to reach the parts of our brain responsible for memory and emotions. But smell can awaken very vivid memories and reproduce sensations that contain that mixture of sensitivity and sadness that we call nostalgia.
Oh,
so I guess, like, whatever pathway through your nose is, like,
closer.
A shorter path to the part of your brain that is connected to, like, memories and emotions. So that's why it's usually just, like, smell that
not sure.
triggers it.
Yeah.
Yeah, damn.
That's crazy.
That's very interesting.
That is crazy.
But, yeah, and I can totally, and, yeah, I guess it is more smell, but every time, I'm sure you guys have heard me hear it, but like on a crisp fall day when I'm just walking outside, I'm like, softball weather.
Yeah.
Like you just smell the fresh air and it's like, I just want to be like on a field playing softball right now, you know? Or like, I was talking with Becky the other day, who our friend, for people listening, she's our friend in Newman, she just graduated. But we were talking about like, she bundled up for her job and she's like, why did I just get, like, thrown back to when I had to bundle up for, like, marching band practice or something? And I was like, yeah, literally, like, a certain temperature and a certain, like, gust of wind will take me back to, like, a second of a practice. And I was like, whoa, that reminds me of the practice that this happened. Where it's so
yeah.
weird. Like,
yeah.
why does that happen? Ugh. Anyway.
That happens a lot for me when I, like, go outside and it'll smell like it does on, we go to the same vacations every year. My family would always go to Wisconsin every year. And the mornings in Wisconsin are very distinct in the summer because there's just, like, summer's here, like, the morning, even though maybe it's a little cooler, like, it's still hot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in, like, Wisconsin, it was always just, like, cooler in the morning, cooler at night, but, like, hot during the day. And so there's just certain mornings and there's certain smell to them that, like, you walk out and the feeling of the temperature and the smell of the air is, like, oh, my gosh, I feel like I'm in Wisconsin. Like, it, like, literally, like, transports me, like, to vacation in Wisconsin. And it's just, like, it's so funny because it's, like, yeah, just, like, reliving those memories. And it's so fun that, like, literally just a scent can do that.
Yeah. And how many times are we somewhere and you're like, I know that smell. I
yeah, what does that smell like?
From,
yeah.
But I know it.
Yeah. That's funny. I just think, I feel like we take smell for granted, actually, I will say.
Absolutely.
Because I feel like, let me just say something. So, I feel like, well, I guess there's some people that can't smell. I don't want to sound like very ignorant here. But I feel like there's just a very deep heartbreak, I feel like, about thinking about somebody like, oh, like, they can't see, or like, they can't hear, you know? Like, there's just like this deep sadness, I feel like, with that. But I feel like you're never like, what if I couldn't smell? Like, I feel like you don't like think about that as being like sad. But I feel like, you just smell all the time, like you can't, like,
or like whenever you're sick and you like you can't smell,
yes.
so you can't taste, so like it's like
yes.
so frustrating. And
yes.
then, like, shoot, I just want to be back to like a week ago when I could smell,
right?
Like,
right,
yeah.
like, yeah, so you do lose it for like little bits, I guess, and like you take it for granted, though. Like, so much of like memory is connected to the smell, and like it like adds color and like flavor because it's like, yeah, you can't eat that.
Yeah, you don't think about it until you can.
Until you can, you know?
But yeah, and you kind of touched on how like certain, like there are individuals who don't have certain senses. And yeah, our initial instinct is to be like super sad and just like, oh, I wish I could like do something. Mm-hmm. But like I follow this YouTuber pretty closely, Molly Burke, I think.
Yeah. Her name,
and she's blind. And I love her because she just like is so open about everything on the internet and just wants to like bring awareness to like people who may not have their sense of sight or other people with different like senses and stuff like that. And like the main thing that she kind of preaches pretty often is that like, no, like you don't have to be sad for me because like this is my normal. Like,
yeah,
it's not like I'm missing out on anything because this is all I know, you know? Like, so I don't know. It's just, there are a lot of like great souls out there who speak some really awesome truth on that. And it's just like really interesting to me. I don't know.
And part of me, like, as you're saying that, like, I feel like those people know the world better.
Yeah.
Because they're more with, so she doesn't have her sight, but I feel like she has this ability to probably understand the world better because she's not so maybe distracted, honestly, or like taking things for granted, or her other, like we said earlier, like her other senses have to be so like they're taking over for that, like the missing sense of sight, that like I feel like she maybe is in more in tune with like her life and like the world than like we are, just like living with our five senses that we just take for granted.
And we're so apt, I feel like, to be, well, I have all these things and I'm happy, so why wouldn't you be happy with all things I have? So it's like, well, I have my sight, so why aren't you happy since you don't have sight?
Mm-hmm.
We can't understand, like, we can't get on the level of someone thinking, it's kind of like that, like, childish, like, mentality of being like, well, it makes me happy, like, it's kind of like my world, so that means, like, you should think the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true, it's like, she probably has such a deeper understanding of things. And it reminded me of Blessed Chiara Madonna. So for those who don't know, she's a blessed. She, I believe, passed away when she was 18. She was a young Italian girl that was diagnosed with cancer. And one of her like most famous quotes was when she was towards the end of her life, she was so weak and so sick. And she said, I have nothing left but my heart, and with that I can love.
Mm-hmm.
So taking maybe what little you have left and using it to the utmost ability, I mean, that is beautiful. That is intentionality, and that is insane. Like, because you're using the gifts that God gave you so intentionally and so authentically, so beautifully, rather than, like, we were talking about taking things for granted, like, oh, I have it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm just going to use it.
Yeah. Well, and it reminds me, honestly, of what the speaker was talking about yesterday, which we've heard this all, like, so much, I feel like, over life, of like, you know, like loving is giving yourself away, and like it's when we're like self-centered that's like when we're sinful, and that's when, you know, we're not living up to our full potential as like humans. Like, we're meant to be a gift, and I think that's basically what you're saying. But like, when I feel like when there is a loss, like with Blessed Chiara Madonna, I feel like with like saints, like people that can use this and like become saints with it, like she lost everything, but she was still willing to like give herself away with like what she had left. And it goes back to like the Bible story of like the woman with the two coins, one coin, whatever. She just had like, she only had like very, very little, but like everyone else was giving their portion, their ration, and it was like a lot of money, but she just had like the two coins, but she gave all she had, and like she was blessed, or like she was the one that like had all these, like she knew how to live, basically, of like. And I feel like that is true with like people that have gone through deep suffering and like loss in their life. If they are able to like still give what they have, like those are the saints, like those are the people that like know what life is about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, I just think of like that poverty that some people have, and they're still like so rich, you know, like they don't have certain things, and they're just like so generous with what they do have, which I feel like with me sometimes, like, feeling super blessed with, like, my life, like, sometimes I feel like I don't know how to give myself away, you know? Like, I'm just so consumed with, like, okay, I have this, this, and this, but, like, I don't know how to give anything away, you know? Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, I feel like people that lose things know how to give things away better.
Yeah. I'm going to tie in an interesting leg of, I don't know, torrent, I guess, not really, but economics. There's a thing of where it's like if you have, let's say, 15 different choices of a type of shoe, you're going to kind of make a rash decision and not really put in all of the thought and all of like, okay, well, I want a 1-inch heel, I want it to be leather, I want it to be brown.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to kind of put this out the window and you're going to be a little frantic. Whereas if you had two, like, if you had two choices, you're going to be more apt to choose, like, the better for you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's kind of in that where it's, like, if you have so much going on and you have, like, so much, like, say, like, a lot of material objects or you have, like, a lot of experiences or we are in, like, sensory overload, you're going to be kind of, like, lost in your head of what to do.
Yeah, like you're not intentional.
You're not intentional. You're just gonna kind of be willy nilly throwing things around, like, oh, like this is closer to me, I'm gonna use this.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, Carol Madonna, who's stripped down to, you know, her frail body and like her beautiful big heart, she had that. She's like, well, I have this and I can do so much with this, even though it may seem little, I can do so much. And like Saint Therese, you know, in her little way.
Yeah.
She led such like a meek and humble life, but. And she's one of the most beautiful and, I feel like, well-known saints because of that. Mother Teresa. I mean, all the saints, if you go through, that's their whole premise, is living intentionality with beauty of purely just God's gifts of their beautiful soul.
Yeah.
And this might end up being a rhetorical question, but I kind of want to discuss about it. But, like, what do you guys feel like in today's world would be, like, the first step of something like that?
Step
to sainthood in that way of like,
Oh, like stripping things down?
Yeah, like getting to a point. I don't know.
I think our world is too big. I think we're too connected to like social media for, I know that's like the hot topic now. Social media is like everyone's like attached to it, whatever. But I think I just thought of Father Rob's homily too the other day of like when you're like living, a lot of times when you get older and you mature and like you kind of like start living out your vocation, like your world becomes small, you know, like you're so, you have to like be intentional because like God places certain people in your life and like that's your responsibility, like your responsibility is like to those people or like to that vocation, whatever your vocation is. But I think in today's world we're so connected to, I feel like I know people that live in California, I just follow them on, and it's like I don't know them,
right?
You know, like my world is so big, it's like I'm so distracted by all these people that I don't really know, but I think I know, or like I feel like I have all these different things I have to do when, like, what's actually right in front of me that like God is asking me to do. Like, I feel like we're so distracted that we don't know how to love intentionally because our world's so big, you know?
Yes, Maggie, absolutely. Yeah. I think. We, our society as a whole, is so polluted now. I was talking about this in that Bible study, but how it's very rare to have a conversation with someone and then not pull up their sleeve to look at their Apple Watch and be like smacking their wrist to like get notifications away when like you're in the middle of a conversation or scrolling on their phone or like looking off in the distance at a TV or picking up on a radio that's playing.
Yeah.
Of giving into all these worldly distractions, as you were saying, Maggie, and not focusing on what's in front of you and how we take for granted like the tangibleness of being in the physical place, same physical place as someone, and how big of an impact that can have, rather than, yeah, you could be connected to some girl that lives in California, but it's like, what really matters is what's in front of you, because God placed that human or that experience for you in this moment right here.
Right.
And why are we so apt to throw it away and treat it as lesser than, and your phone as greater than?
I mean, it's so relevant too. I think about, you know, mom, Zoom and these classes, and it's very interesting to me because in some ways, like, yeah, like that's so cool that we can still have basically a normal normal, I'm saving quotes because it's not normal, but a very applicable, like, classroom online with your professor, and you can see these people through Zoom, but it's like, there's something that no matter how much you try to make it normal, it's just not, like, you're looking at these people through a screen, and there's so many of these people that I feel like I know, but I've only seen through a Zoom box, and it's like, does God want that? Like, does God, is that God's, like, will for us to be just, like, living through these boxes on our computer? And, like, yeah, it's good. It's, like, useful to help us, like, function as a society right now. But it's, like, it's so artificial. And it's just, like, frustrating if you, like, really take a second to think about it. Because it's, like, you're just losing so much of somebody's humanity.
What popped into my head when you were talking about that is, even though we're not intentionally doing it, what we're really doing in those moments of viewing a person through a computer screen is we're basically objectifying them. We're reducing them down to purely, like, the pixels on the screen and not seeing their full personality and what's going on. We're just seeing them in that moment on the screen. Right. They're usually muted.
Right. Well, and it's like, and your time, it ties it back to senses of, like,
yeah,
you're not getting the full sense of the person.
Yeah, you can't smell them, you can't touch them,
no,
you can't hear them, really.
But I feel like that's a tricky thought, too, because none of us really want that to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
it's not like we chose. So, like, I don't know. It's hard to think in the sense of, like, does God really want this right now? Because, like, nobody really wants this
right
now,
right,
you know? So, like, we would totally always choose to not reduce a human to, because, yeah, I totally agree. It's like, I couldn't even tell you the names to faces ever. Like, even the faces, I don't look at anybody on my Zoom classes, you know? But, yeah, I don't know. That's a really interesting, yeah.
I guess what I meant by that is, I wonder what God thinks about us making all these changes to try to get to some sense of normal. Like, I wonder if he would have rather, not rather, but he's like, he's willingness, but, like, if maybe we should have made our world smaller, you know, like, not trying to just, like, slow down for a second. I don't know, I feel like we're just, like, in such a need of grasping, like, back to normal, and somehow when maybe, like,
and maybe, as we were talking about in the first episode of this season, where we were, like, deprived of the sacraments for the time of quarantine, and then once we got back, we appreciated them that much more. Maybe it's kind of, can't really say what God wants, but maybe this is kind of an opportunity of realizing the importance of, like, personal interaction. Where we're deprived of it.
Yeah.
But then once we do, like, right now, we get to sit next to each other rather than talking over Zoom. And how much more we appreciate that. Whereas in the past, it's just another normal thing. We're just going through the motions of being with each other. But now we know, it's like, when you were sick, you didn't have your sense of smell. You noticed that it was gone. But once you got it back, it was that much more valuable to you. So maybe that's kind of the premise of what we're feeling now. Of we realize the deprivation of no personal interaction with being on computer or your phone versus being in person, and how much more you can raise a person up being with them physically.
So, I definitely think there's so much blessing to this time. Like, yeah, it's hard, but, like, yeah, again, you see the things you took for granted are, like, shoot, like, I wish I could just sit in the classroom, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so funny. Like, I was having this conversation with one of my professors. She was asking, she kind of just did check-ins, and she was like, how are you guys doing with the online thing? And I was like, it's weird, because I was like, I feel like I'm so much more scattered online, because I feel like when I'm in person and I'm in a classroom, going back to the senses, like, I'm in a classroom, I'm sitting there, I can see the people around me, I can smell the classroom. I know, like, okay, I have to do this assignment for this class, and I can picture the classroom, and I can picture what I need to do. And then the other class is in a different building and, like, in a different setting. But, like, when I'm on my computer screen, it all runs together. And I feel like I'm constantly forgetting to do something. And it's just, it all meshes together.
Yeah, that's so funny, because that kind of just reminded me, not last semester, but the semester before, I had two classes in the same classroom. And I always got those classes mixed up. Mm-hmm. Like, I just, like, couldn't bring myself there on two different days, like, of the week. So, like, I don't know why it was so difficult, but, like, I assigned that classroom to that first class that I had, and then once I got into that second class, I was like, this is weird. So now that's literally, like, all of my classes. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, I never thought of it like that, but that's exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But, yeah. Can I take a moment to kind of flip this on its head?
Okay, yeah, so, go for it.
So we talk about how big that... Let me rephrase that. How we talk about how big personal interaction is and seeing people in the physical and being able to touch and smell and feel them. It's like we believe in God and we've never seen Him, touched Him, smelled Him.
Yeah.
It's like we have... the body of Christ, He's in a host.
Yeah, sure.
Where and that, as you were saying, it's a total misleading of your senses, and that's where faith is.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, oh my gosh, this is so crazy that you said that, because it was funny. Me and Brooke were having a conversation. Brooke is one of our friends, shout out to Brooke. And she said this line, and I was like, yeah, that's it, Brooke. She said, you're talking about how, you know, this world is your ship, not your home. Like, we need to be living for heaven, you know? Like, if we live in this world, like, we're going to get caught up in that, and, like, we need to focus on, like, what is our end goal? And I was saying to her, I was like, I think I struggle with it, because, like, that's so unknown to me. Like, I don't, like, what, like, I'm looking for something that I don't know, like, heaven, like, I don't know what that looks like. And she just said this so simply, but she's like, yeah, like, we're living for something we can't see. And, like, it's so true. Like, if we're, like, living out our faith, like, that's, like, the Eucharist. We're going to live our whole lives believing that, like, that is the body of Christ. And, like, that has to be true, or else, like, what are we doing, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. It's just so interesting. Like, that, yeah, I just thought that line was so powerful. Like, we're living for something we can't see. And, like,
yet, isn't it crazy how incredibly close we are to heaven, like, every single every day? Like, doesn't that blow your mind, though? Like, sometimes I'll just be, like, sitting in, like, adoration and be like, we're literally, like, heaven is so close right now. You know, like, you just get that, like, weird, like,
the veil is very thin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, I do think... And again, this goes back to the talk we had last night, and he was talking about there's something in us that is desiring that perfection, because we once, as humans, like, we're not fallen and not broken, like, in the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
And there are these moments, though, that I think we all have them that we can pinpoint, like, shoot, that was, like, heaven on earth. You know, like, that was so good. Like, are those moments that, like, you don't want to end, like, or, like, a conversation with a person that is just like, oh my gosh, like, I just want to sit here with you and, like, keep talking, and, you know, you never want the conversation to end. And, like, those, like, concrete examples that we have are what, like, heaven is, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, it's obviously not going to be the same exact thing, but, like, we can still, like, we can still, like, know what we're living for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, we can still know it without seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, taking those moments of joy and beautiful and laughter,
mm-hmm.
and almost thinking, I guess it's, like, I don't know if this is incorrect to say, but as, like, God in heaven and the joy that comes from, like, personified in those moments.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they're coming mm-hmm. through a way that we'll understand and be able to accept.
Yeah.
No.
Like, it's like those, like, yeah, I know what you're saying, but I can't quite, like,
because, like, it's like God seeing us, He's the Father, we're the children of Him, taking, like, an abstract idea and reducing it down to some, not reducing it down, but making it in a way where we can understand. Like, you're not going to explain to a 2-year-old how, like, algebra works, but you can show them, like, oh, here's an apple, now there's 2 apples.
Right.
Of making it in a way that they can understand and feel. So it's like, right now, as humans, we're not going to understand all the joys and
complexity
of heaven. we can't,
like, eternity, that's weird to
we,
like,
we can't fully think of that.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, God is gonna take, like, these little moments, like a cup of coffee that brings, like, a little thing of joy.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's not just coming from nothing, that's coming from God.
Yeah.
And again, referencing the speaker we had last night of acknowledging the perfection that you think you have, or, like, the gifts you have, don't just, like, come to you because you deserve it or because you worked for it. But those are all from God.
Yeah, like, everything. Is from that. And it's like,
yeah,
it's so easily forgotten. I don't really know.
Just blew my mind with that last thing. You really just got home right there. Whoa.
It was your question. Was
yeah.
So good, though. That one.
That was solid.
Yeah, I think we can cut it.
Yeah. I think
we got it.
I'm like a little bit confused.
Now I'm gonna just, like, sit in that all day.
Father Rob, we need you. You need some explanations. I feel like my brain and my soul got a massive workout.
Yeah.
You're, like, looking around, like, trying to connect.
I'm
all these
sensory overload. I'm going to go take a nap.
Yeah.
What if we just ended in a glory be really fast?
Glory be.
Do it.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. And that'll be it. And then we'll do the glory be, and then we'll do our little outro.
And then we can end up solid. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Blessed Chiara Vedona,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. As always, it's been real. Thanks for listening. From Maggie,
Mary Rose,
Pam McKenzie,
and always remember
to be authentic,
be faithful,
and be bold.